listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. And after 10 years and 229 events, Jorge Campillo is finally a winner on the European Tour.
Way too long, you know, I've been there way too many times. But I guess when I have my better chance, I took it. So I'm just proud right now the way I finished. So it's hard to describe, you know. It's been a long road. I love it. It's been a hard work. Just believing I could win, it took me a while, but I finally did it. So it's just wonderful.
It was a very special victory for the Spaniard, who was pushed all the way at the Trophy Hassan Dur by overnight leader Eric Van Rooyen, as well as American Sean Crocker and Julian Suri.
Today was the best I'd controlled my ball, the best I hit it all week. And where some of the pins are, it's challenging. You just have to play defensive and give yourself a 30-footer for birdie. Unfortunately, none of those dropped for me, but I hit a hell of a lot of good efforts from that range. So yeah, all in all, lots of positives, but definitely stings a little bit.
A look back at the best of the action to come. Plus, we'll also preview the next event, the Volvo China Open. And I'm joined once again by former European Tour professional, now Sky Sports anchor, Ewan Murray. Ewan, how are you?
Yeah, I was good, but I've forgotten. So I'm not sure if I'm good, but I'm here.
Oh, that's good. It's good to have you here. And also good to have you here, Chris Ryan, YouTube instructor and golf coach. So just introduce yourself to people. Tell us what you do.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. How long an intro do you want?
Just a brief resume. No more than 45 seconds.
45 seconds. Okay, so I'm a golf professional, qualified from the PGA in 2005. Spent 16 years working at the Belfry, and then recently moved over to set up my own academy called Hit Golf Academy at the Forest of Arden. And about 5 years ago, as you were saying, kind of started a kind of YouTube channel, instructional, and that's been doing pretty well recently.
Talking about the Belfry, have you ever seen Joe Miller hit a golf ball?
I've seen Joe Miller hit a putter onto the 10th green.
You must have been stood next to me when he did that then.
This was, 3 years ago maybe? Yeah, that was impressive.
Into the wind.
Yeah, and it didn't take him many shots either.
Reminds me of your skills, Ewan, a 35-inch putter.
It's not good for the stats because he two-putted, went down as a three-putt.
Do you know the funny thing is he couldn't get the two iron. It was spinning up into the wind. He took the putter out. It just went through the wind and pitched 270 yards on the green.
He's some talent.
Oh, he's incredible. So, Trophy Hassan Dur, Jorge Campillo, a long wait, but he's been playing some consistent golf, Ewan, and a lot of second-place finishes. It was going to come at some point for him.
You would have thought so, but you always tend to worry when they can't actually get over the line. He had 6 times second place, Campillo. Good, consistent player, and I'm thrilled for him. It's quite a nice age for it to happen as well. Just turned 30, so he's got 10 years ahead of him, and now he's tucked away that first win. You would expect one or two more to follow.
When you look at his action, his swing, Chris, do you see Spanish hands in there? Is that what you see?
I think, you know, they've all got fantastic touch and feel, haven't they? And certainly, you know, looking at the scores, that was a tough golf course. You know, the scores weren't very low and he kind of managed to go bogey-free on the back nine to get it over the line. So definitely some talented hands there.
Isn't it nice, Ewan, to see sometimes a golf course where the rough wasn't very thick and it was 9 under the winning score?
We were talking about last week. It was a Jones design in the early part, just around the 1970s. And then Crenshaw and Cole came in and they turned it, for me, back into a golf course. It was always like a landscape garden for me the first time I saw it, when the Trophy Hassan 2 was first played. But Crenshaw and Cole have put in some good bunkering there. They've put the bunkers in the right place. They've brought it up into the modern day. And 9 under, I think, is about right to win a tournament.
Wouldn't be a bad Ryder Cup course.
It would be tough, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I was looking, that nobody on that final day broke 70.
That's impressive. It's past 73, which is unusual in itself.
But you'd expect someone to break 70.
Yeah,
that's a tough golf course.
In good weather.
And do you feel potentially that helped him win? Is he maybe not the kind of golfer who's great at going 20, 21 under, but he's pretty good when it's a tough test, maybe?
I don't know. He's played well on lots of different courses. I don't think it's the course particularly for him. I just think he didn't really stand up on the back nine. He finished second a lot of times, and you could pinpoint an area in the back nine or a hole in the back nine somewhere where he let himself down. But he finished strongly this time, and that was the difference.
Yeah, there's quite a few players like that, and they're all chasing their first victory, and we shouldn't be too hard on them because their goal is to have that first victory. The thing now is to go ahead and get another one fairly quickly. He's had all the second places. At 32 years of age, he's got the experience. And I often think of that of Jordan Smith. Jordan Smith won so well 2 years ago, and he hasn't pushed on for the next victory. And I expected that to happen last year, and it didn't.
It might happen in China this week. You never know. We'll get to that. He could be one of your picks. You're keeping your cards very close to your chest, I've noticed.
After my performance over the last few weeks, you should understand why.
How impressive were the birdies at 16 and 17 then for Campillo?
Well, I think it was key because there were still a few people obviously in the shout, in the shout of winning, you know, and so to birdie 16, 17 on what is clearly a very difficult golf course and a very difficult back nine, that's key and that's clutch. And that shows that, you know, perhaps he's just kind of made that step and he just feels that a little bit more comfortable now trying to close out a tournament.
If ever there was a shot that won in the tournament, it must have been his second 16.
I think when you win like that, I think there's always going to be a shot or a hole that you look back and think that was the make or break moment. And I'd certainly agree that shot was key, and that must have given that little boost to kind of think I can do this.
And to your point, Ewan, you know, talking about players looking for the breakthrough, Van Rooyen's got to be one of those, and the young American Sean Crocker as well.
For sure. Van Rooyen came very close in Ireland last year up at Ballyliffin, a tight final round there. And in the end, it was Fox and Russell Knox that played out extra holes. You know, it's very difficult to win. I've told you before on this show that when I was playing, there was 12, 15 players maybe that you could say, well, the winner will come from them. Now it's any one of 80.
Yeah, quite incredible. The European Tour record for Jorge Campillo is 228 events, 6 runner-ups, 10 top threes, 17 top fives. Of course, they all double count. 28 top tens and 150 made cuts. He's put in the hard yards.
Yeah, and that's just over 70% of making cuts. So he's been knocking on the door for quite some time. It's so important to get that first victory because then you become part of the tour. You know you've done it. And the next time you're in that position, I won't say it's easy, but it's easier.
How much money has he accrued, do you think, to this point? As you look at the stats.
Ooh, as I look at the stats, shall I have had a guess before
a guess.
I look down?
Yeah, go on, have a guess.
I'm going to guess about 4.4 million.
Very close. 4.5 million euro.
I did have
prize
a little
money.
Sneaky peek there.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. You did your research. I've never always been inside the top 100. I mean, that's a sign of a player that's pretty much... You know, people say the guy that finishes 99th or 100th is a journeyman. He's actually a very good player.
He is.
People don't realise that.
Yeah, and a consistent player as well. And if you look, since the Rolex series have been introduced to the European Tour, you're looking at 300, 350 to make sure that everything's okay for next year. I mean, that's not easy.
No. Had a good pedigree coming in with a good amateur record. Are you surprised in many ways that it's taken him until his 30s to get to this point?
I just think every golfer's different, and we can link this back to amateurs. You know, you put someone in a, let's say, a pressure situation. It could be winning the monthly medal, it could be winning a European Tour, and your body reacts differently in different ways. And sometimes it just takes some golfers a little bit longer to kind of learn how to deal with those different feelings, those emotions, the nervousness. And for some golfers, they just come right out the bat and win, and for others, it takes a little bit longer. And I don't think you can... It's difficult to pinpoint which golfer's going to be which. I think you look at him, he's obviously been a very good player over a number of years and had plenty of top fives and top tens. That maybe just taking him a little bit longer to learn how to deal with his, you know, his emotions and the sensations that he gets when he's been in contention.
Okay, let's hear from Jorge, who says his victory was long overdue.
Way too long, you know, I've been there way too many times. But I guess when I have my better chance, I took it. So I'm just proud right now the way I finished. So I don't know, it's just feel great.
And what was it like when you were stood on the 18th tee? You were waiting there for quite some time.
I know, it was a long wait. It feels forever. I wish I could have hit it sooner, but obviously they were in front of me and I hit a good tee shot, but the other two shots of the hole, they were great.
How was it out there? Was it a real battle on that golf course, or were you comfortable out there?
No, it was tough. I didn't play good. I didn't have my A game today. I missed so many shots at first. But I hung in there, I parried great towards the end of the round. I was able to finish with a couple birdies, so just finishing like you're supposed to is nice.
And a fantastic reception from your compatriots on the 18th green as well?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I couldn't even see them. You know, I was getting emotional, I guess. I didn't see the guys coming, but I'm glad they were there to watch it and support me.
And I know it's only just happened, but can you sum up your emotions after such a long time finally getting a European Tour win?
It's hard to describe, you know. It's been a long road. I love it. It's been a hard work. And just believing I could win, it took me a while, but I finally did it. So it's just wonderful.
You know, Tiger Woods has got a lot to answer for because he's given the game modern vernacular that all the players use. I need to get a W. They all use that one now. And no one ever before Tiger Woods talked about their A game.
No, well, it is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. He didn't have his A game. So, you know, if he felt he wasn't playing at his very best, it's an even more impressive win.
Absolutely, and that's got to give him confidence, because he must think now, whatever the field, if he has got his own game, he knows he can win, he probably feels he can win. That's huge.
65th in the world now, Ewan, from 90th. That's a massive leap towards the top 50.
It surely is, and all the prizes that go with that. I heard him say it then, he wanted to take a few weeks off to let this win soak in. Not the time to do that.
No.
Strike while the iron's hot. Take the week off when you're tired.
I think he's going to be playing in China with any ordinary luck, because you might feature in one of your picks later on. It might be one of your picks. I mean, you've both been a bit sort of cloak and dagger about the whole thing.
He was top 10 last year.
In China?
In China.
Yeah,
so
different course, though.
I'm the same as you, and I'd be telling him to just keep going, play more.
I think he's a guy that tends to play quite a bit, because...
He does.
Yeah.
He does. You look at all the events he's played in there, the 228 events, and...
Yeah.
You're looking at an average of 26 to 28 tournaments a year, which is above the average.
So you would both advocate that he presses on right now?
Oh, strike while the iron's hot. I mean, there's plenty of time to take weeks off when you're tired and you've run out of steam. Right now, he's on a high. He needs to keep going.
So, you know, when the top players always talk about their schedule and it's meticulously planned and they have to have their breaks put in, and their science person and their diet person and their trainer person has said, ooh, don't play 3 weeks in a row, whatever. You're just saying, suck it and see for Jorge.
Keep going. And if you keep playing well, keep going.
What about Van Ryan? Do you think he's far away from getting over the line? He looks good, doesn't he? He's an impressive-looking hitter.
After Saturday, I tipped him. I thought he was going to come out on top on Sunday. We've already said it was a tough course, but to shoot 74 on the last day, he'll be frustrated. Because he had a great... The Open, wasn't it, when he had a fantastic run at the Open?
He played very well in Ireland and lost out, as Ewan said, to Noxie and Foxy. But yeah, I think his time is coming. He's going to learn to... There's a learning curve on the back nine on a Sunday. Some players take longer to figure out what to do, and some players can do it quicker.
I think, having watched Campillo won over the course of the last nine holes, where he was faltering, he will take something from that, and he'll think of the way he felt when the pressure increased in the middle of the back nine, where the mistakes he made, he'll try not to make them again. So he can take quite a lot just from being in the mix.
Yeah.
And it's still very young in his career.
Yeah, I think his time's coming. It may not be too far away. It may even be in a few days' time. Let's hear for now from another American who just missed out, Julian Suri.
To have four under par rounds, it's something that I didn't have in India. And on a course like this where it demands so much from you, tee to green and on the greens, definitely huge steps forward. And for me to be bogey-free in the final round to maintain that sort of composure is definitely something... a first for this year, so it's definitely a trend I'd like to keep going forward.
How did it feel out there today? Was it a grind, or were you comfortable out there?
I mean, today was honestly the best ball striking. I figured something out last night when I was sleeping subconsciously. Funny how this thing works, and kind of tried it out on the range this morning, and I was crushing it, and today was the best I'd controlled my ball, the best I hit it all week. And where some of the pins are, it's challenging. You just have to play defensive and give yourself a 30-footer for birdie. And unfortunately, none of those dropped for me, but I hit a hell of a lot of good efforts from that range. So, all in all, lots of positives, but definitely stings a little bit.
Julian Suri, he could be a Manchester City fan, because he's got a new haircut, and it's a copy of the Sergio Aguero haircut. Have you seen that?
No, I saw Sergio Aguero pop one in at the weekend, though.
Well, a very important goal.
Oh, yes.
But he's got the white top, very dark hair, Julian Suri, but the top is white.
Well, it's good to have idols. No,
not in your day, Ewan.
No, that wouldn't happen. Certainly not down Sucky Hall Street in Glasgow, or indeed Princess Street in Edinburgh. But, you know, just listening to Julian Suri there, he's got his first victory. Yeah. And he threw away a few. Mm. If you remember the French Open last year, he's in great shape to go ahead and win that. And the second shot is a weak, mistimed long iron that didn't go anywhere near the edge of the green and finished in the middle of the water at Golf National. So he's made mistakes. Van Rooyen's made mistakes. What they have to do is learn from it. And this guy, Suri, let me tell you, is a very good golfer.
Yeah, he is a very good golfer. And he's one of a bunch of Americans who are doing very well in the race to Dubai.
Absolutely. I mean, we were just talking about that before, weren't we? But there seems to be a lot more Americans heading over to the European Tour, which is great. You know, you've got obviously some winners already this season. Julian Suri, obviously. Sean Crocker was up there at the weekend. So I think it's great to see some more Americans coming over and joining the European Tour.
And we'll see some of the bigger named Americans hitting the European Tour when we get to sort of the meat of it in the summer. So it's going to be a fun time, sort of June, July, August here, that's for sure. It was also a Spanish double in Morocco, because at the same time as the men were playing, the ladies European Tour were competing for the Lala Merriam Cup, and Nuria Ituriof claimed the Ladies European Tour title. The event has run concurrently alongside the Trophée Hassan d'Or since 2010. So a Spanish double, Ewan.
Yeah, a Spanish double in Morocco. Lovely course that as well. They played on the blue course, whereas the lads played on the red course. It's become one of the great resorts since they've chopped and changed it over the course of the last 5 years. And we've seen the men and the women now playing in the odd event where they play in the same golf course. We've had the introduction at Augusta National earlier this year of the Women's Championship there. Good to see.
Very good to see. Also worth mentioning that in round one, Stephen Gallagher finished birdie, albatross birdie, to shoot 5 under par. How'd he go in his second round?
Not so good. It's often difficult to follow a really good round, isn't it? We see that a lot. That, you know, they can shoot a really good round and not follow it with a great one. But yeah, I mean, that albatross, it's got to give you a boost, hasn't it, to pick up 3 shots on one hole. But I think it was it 82 in the second round?
Yeah, so 68, 82. Yeah. I'm trying to work that out. The par 73. That is 5 under, 9 over, 4 over. That, yeah, he made the cut. Yeah, it's unbelievable. You can shoot 68, 82 and make the cut these days. But that's testament to the golf course and what a test it is. Ewan, please give us the top 10 from the Trophée Hassan d'Or.
There was a logjam of players in tied ninth place, 5 and all. Matthias Schwab was one of them. Richard Stoney, who's having a fairly consistent season. Tongchai Jayadee seems to get better with age. And many's pick for last week, Thomas Dietrich, who actually did very well. 73 in the opening round, 76 in round two, and just managed to make the cut. And then followed that with 69 and 72. Also in ninth was Alexander Bjork, just ahead of the defence of his Volvo China Open next week. Tapio Pulkkinen was alone in eighth place. Kamiwara from Japan, 73 in the final round. He added €80,000 to his haul this year. Good young player. Player to look out for. Grant Forrest from Scotland was alongside him and tied sixth. David Lipsky from the United States, fifth. Just behind Van Rooyen, Julian Suri in second place, and of course Crocker alongside these two as well. But it's a week that belonged to, I hate to say it, your tip last week, Senor Campillo.
Very good, Ewan. You mentioned last week's predictions. Let's go through it. A reminder of the format. We get 2 picks. One has to be outside the top 50 in the final of last year's Race to Dubai standings. 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, but -5 if you miss the cut. Shall I go first or last? I'll go first. I went for Jorge Campillo, who won, so I got 20 points for that, and Christian Bezuidenhout as my outsider, who finished 14th, 5 points. That's a 25-point haul. That might be the first time ever on this show we've had 25 points. Unconfirmed reports from the producer, but it's definitely a possibility. Ewan went for Tom Lewis, who, because he bogeyed the last hole, didn't finish in the top 20, so he gets 0 points for that, and -5 for... He picked a Spaniard, but the wrong one.
Yeah, my spelling's never been good. It was Gonzalo Fernandez Campillo I was going
for. Was it indeed? That's who it was, well, yeah. You're in Castaño, unfortunately, so miscut, -5 points. Sam Torrance, Thomas Dietrich, who was definitely a big in the picks last week, finished top 10, so that's 5 points for Sam, and nothing for Stephen Brown, who made the cut but tied 38th, doesn't accrue any points. So overall, it's the presenters, 145 points. Co-presenters are down to 50. And the guests are now 10 points. So, I mean, you're under pressure again this week. You're super under pressure.
I'm really under pressure.
You're really under pressure. You're super under pressure.
Well, not really, because last week with Tom Lewis's 21st finish in Morocco is my best performance of the year.
Well, that's true.
But so I'm on the rise.
I must make another point that in my absence, they wheel in Dan Roebuck onto the show. Dan comes in and sits in the seat here.
Yeah, never a good move.
Now, I'm away for 3 weeks, and Dan's going to be tipping. That 145 that I've, you know, bolstered the presenter's points up total, when he chucks in a few miscuts there, I could be down about 100 points when I come back.
That's right.
I mean, Roebuck is unbelievable. He's got stats and figures and strokes gained on every single player, and he's useless. You're going to say something?
No,
Chris, you're happy here. In the fancy Race to Dubai game, Alan Fenwick is top of the overall leaderboard, while Gary Gray, gosh, that's almost a palindrome. Look at that, Gary Gray. That doesn't quite look right visually, does it? But it is. Gary Gray scored the most points from matters in Morocco. If you want to get involved, you can by heading to europeantour.com and registering your team. Top 10, please, Ewan, in the Race at Dubai.
3 of them are from the United States, which at this stage of the season is quite surprising. Stoney's finish last week just gets him to hang on to 10th place there. David Lipsky, another good week last week. He's in 9th. Bryson DeChambeau, who had such a wonderful start to the season out there in the Desert Swing, is in 8th place. The Open champion, Molinari, in 7th. Campillo, what a rise up the Race to Dubai list for Jorge. up to sixth place, just outside the top five, and just ahead of him is Lee Oosthuizen. Ian Poulter, who played in all three of the Desert Swing and played well, he's in fourth place. Justin Harding, who had a fine performance once again last week over in Zurich, is in third. Shane Lowry, the winner in Abu Dhabi, in second. And the match play champion, as far as the World Golf Championships is concerned, Kevin Kisner, is the man looking down on the rest.
And the rule on that is, if you win a WGC, you've got a two-week window if you want to join the tour. And if you do that, then your points count. And that's what happened with Kevin Kisner. So good for him. Now, in other news, there's more Spanish success, by the way, because the Zurich Classic in Louisiana, John Rahm and Ryan Palmer claim victory. 69 in the final round in foursomes. It goes four ball foursomes. And that, in alternate shot format, is a very good score. Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, foursomes, no stranger the Europeans to playing that way round, finished second on 23 under par. Foursomes, stroke play, discuss.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. I mean, I was looking at the leaderboard, and I think Rahm and Ryan Palmer got themselves ahead on Saturday. And I kind of think that didn't win it for them, but I think it's more difficult to catch up playing foursomes. You're not going to get as many kind of 61, 62. Well, no 61, 62. So I think they did the good work on Saturday.
Do you think that's an advantage to the Europeans? A little bit of foursomes stroke play?
I would have said so. I think they've played more of it throughout their career. As far as golf clubs are concerned, as juniors, then you head into youths through your amateur career. So yeah, I think they probably do. And I've talked to Rich Beamer in the States about their college system, and very few, if any, is what they call alternate shot, foursomes. It's all stroke play.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? John Rahm, another win for him on the PGA Tour, but a great win in many ways for Ryan Palmer.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
He's had his problems off the course and on over the course of the last two or three years. Been a difficult stage in his life for him. But he comes from San Antonio, not too far away from Austin, about an hour's drive there. And he's been around a long time. He's made his maiden win. He's followed that with other wins, but into his 40s now, you always wonder if that win's going to be the last one. This might be the win that kicks off his career once again.
Does a lot of charity work and still hits the ball a very long way. So well done, Ryan Palmer and John Rahm, no doubt about that. Now, some nicknames are flying around for the pairs. I guess the Mollywood thing kicked it all off.
That was great, wasn't it? That got some great coverage off the back of that, didn't they?
Didn't it just? And so Garcia and Fleetwood, they had a bit of a poll on Sky Sports, and Team Felicia seemed to be the name that came forward.
So that wasn't them. That was a poll, was it?
I think it was a poll. The people who were sending in their sort of tweeting in their suggestions for what the team might be, and Felicia was the one that's a bit of a hybrid of Fleetwood and Garcia. Yeah. Doesn't sound quite so good, Felicia, is it? It's like a very cheap fake lamb's wool sweater or something. Or
a scam. Sounds like a bit of a scam.
It could be a scam. You like Felicia, Ewan? You into that?
Do they still do lamb's wool?
Well, I know you're a cashmere man, but on your pay scale, it's single ply only. Single ply. don't do single ply. There was a very good one for Graham McDowell and Henrik Stenson that came in, and it was called Three Wood Mac.
That's great, isn't it?
Which is very clever.
I mean, Stenson is known as the three-wood king, isn't he?
The Players' Championship was the best one, the final two ball there, where you've got McIlroy and Fleetwood. So it's easy, Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, that worked easy, yeah.
And you're talking about the Albatross from, you know, Stephen Gallagher. It all mixes in, you know, Albatross, you two,
getting
too young
that Fleetwood
for that.
Mac. No, I'm getting that.
Oh, you know that. Thanks.
I thought they could go with McDowell and Stenson, Nona Blue Shaft.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad for you. How long did that take you to work out?
I thought about that coming in the car this morning.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Traffic was heavy,
wasn't
it?
Traffic was heavy, yeah. The only reason, if you don't know, that Graham McDowell's involved in a restaurant called Nona Blue at Lake Nona. He's got one in Jacksonville as well, so that was the mix. That was the Graham McDowell bit of the blue shaft, which was obviously the Stenson part of it. Yes, that's it. So would you change the format in any way? Are you happy with the four ball and the foursome staggering through the week? Or would you add another element to it, perhaps?
Do you know what I didn't like about the foursomes on the final day? Is that's when the tickets are sold out and the fans come to see a conclusion to a tournament. I think they want to see birdies. I'd have the foursomes earlier and I'd have the last day as a straightforward shooter. As you said just a few moments ago, that, you know, it's difficult to play foursomes. 69 is a brilliant score. Mm. But then in four balls, you could have had a 60 or a 61. So the volatility of the final day can change with better ball. I don't see it changing much with foursomes.
What about a bit of scramble?
I think
worst ball.
I don't mind
worst
that format, ball. But I completely agree with what Ewan says. If you're a real fan, let's say you're a huge John Rahm fan and you turn up to that event and you walk to one of the tees and he's not teeing off, you know, you're a little bit frustrated that you're not seeing your player tee off. And
and he's hitting half the shots. Yeah. You know, I think any golf fan, spectator on a final day, if he's paid for the ticket to go and see that final day, I think he wants to see fireworks.
I mean, you could have four different formats in the 4 days, couldn't you? Just foursomes once, four ball once, and two different ones.
The Texas Scramble is a good one. I like the idea of the worst ball.
Worst ball, yeah. You take the worst t-shirt.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Would you get anyone playing in it? They'd all go, I'm not playing in that event.
Well, I mean, you might get 75. Might be a great score.
Of course,
probably would be.
Of course. But early in the week, don't do that.
Have the four ball bet ball on the Sunday.
Absolutely.
And have all the different formats before that. It's just an idea. I mean, I think Zurich are quite happy the way it went.
They're trying other things. I think they've got to gauge a little bit of the reaction to the fans and the spectators and see what they get from that. But I do like the idea of trying different things.
Okay, well, the European Tour have been very much on the front foot in terms of new formats and what have you. Slightly off the piece, but not too far away. Andy Sullivan is the latest player to take part in the European Tour's Chase the Ace series. Mm. The Englishman had 500 attempts at the 171-yard par 3, 11th at the Heritage Course at London Golf Club. And you can see how he gets on by heading to the European Tour website. And like Game of Thrones, spoiler alert coming in 3-2-1, Sullivan eventually got the job done at the 230th attempt. I would say that's very good. And a hole-in-one in 230 shots.
Hugely impressive. Yeah. I was trying to work out earlier how many par 3s I've played in my life, and I'm yet to have one. And it's more than 500 attempts.
I'm in that club. I do not have a hole-in-one.
I really don't know why I'm here.
I don't know why you're here. But I have hope, because Bryson DeChambeau had his first hole-in-one, 16th at Augusta. That's his first ever hole-in-one. Yeah.
I'd be happy if my first one was there as well.
You wouldn't mind if you went there and chunked it in the water, would you?
I'd be very happy standing on that tee.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from Andy. He must have been pretely pleased that he achieved it eventually.
Go on, then. Yeah! I don't care what I do from now on for the rest of the season. That was ridiculous. Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. Oh, mate.
He's a quiet lad, Andy, isn't he?
It's very difficult to get professional sound recorders these days. Did you hear all the bleeps? I mean, he was obviously in the wrong channel.
Or just sort of dropping in and out of the zone where they could pick up the signal, yeah. You can go to the European Tour website and watch that and see exactly why he was so out of breath, because he put in quite a sprint, did young Andy. But well done, 230 attempts to get a hole-in-one. Could have easily gone through 500 and come up with a blanko.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's just about halfway through his allocated shots. And he'd already got two or three within 3 or 4 inches. And it wasn't a witch. I mean, it wasn't a chip down the hill. It was a bit more than that.
I think he was hitting seven, wasn't he?
7-9, was it?
7-9.
But tremendous achievement. And what a great thing to do.
I mean, would you like to have a go at that, Ewan? Might you be knackered before you get to ball number 500?
I certainly wouldn't get to 220 without the help of Nurse Gladys.
And maybe that's the way for you, Chris, to have a hole-in-one. You need a bucket of 500 balls.
I'm not sure that would count, though, would it? You couldn't count that as a hole-in-one if you'd done there for 500 balls.
It counts that he's done the deed, but it's not a hole-in-one.
No, I'd like to have a go, but I wouldn't count it.
Well, you and I do not feature in the world's top 10, Ewan, but you can tell us who does.
I haven't checked. I might not either, but I haven't checked recently.
No, I'm just saying, it was you and I, Chris, and not in the world's top 10.
It's funny enough, I'm looking down the list and I honestly cannot see either name there.
Excellent.
But I do see seven from the United States of America. They're having a good time right now.
Well, they're leading the European Tour and the leading world rankings.
Well, yeah, especially, I think what happened, that second place finish in Paris has given them a tremendous lift.
The second in a race of two.
I think that's what it was. In 10th place, Ricky Fowler. He's already won this year. He won over in Phoenix. Xander Schauffele, of course, is a member of the European Tour. He's in 9th. And Bryson DeChambeau is just ahead of him. Molinari, as he was in the earlier list, in 7th place. Tiger Woods just outside the top 5 after that glorious victory at Augusta National. Into the top 5, Justin Thomas. Rory McIlroy at 4 with the consistency he's shown this year. And in the top 3, Koepka, Rose, and they trail the world number 1, Dustin Johnson. There's just over a point between 1st and 4th.
Incredible, isn't it? Incredible how tight that is. And it's going to keep changing, chopping and changing. Hard to see, Chris, anybody sort of dominating.
You know, Tiger gave us a very different perspective on world golf, didn't he?
He went to the top and dominated the whole thing.
And I think we kind of expect that now. Yeah. And it's just not going to happen, is it? I think it's going to chop and change this year as well.
Will you like it that way? Or you like a dominant figure?
I think a little both. I mean, I loved watching Tiger in his prime and dominating, but I do quite like the excitement of each event. You know, one person can take over the lead, and it's quite exciting that way.
Okay, well, that's sure to continue as we go through the season. Now, the next event on the European Tour is the Volvo China Open, and we're back at the venue that we once played a few years ago when Alex Levy won the Top Wind Golf Club. Last year it was in Beijing. This year it's Shenzhen. So it's quite a nice, not too long a golf course for these players. 7,145 yards now, Ewan. That's not even long for you.
No. Well, depends what tees you play off. But no, by their standards, that's fairly short. But you've got to be accurate around here. And there's been some changes since the course was opened in 1994. It was remodeled around about 10, 12 years ago. It took a year to do that. It's a tougher test than it was in 94, but I would expect low scoring.
Genzon Golf Club, that's where it is. Do you remember much of it when Alex Levy won?
I remember a little bit. Yeah. And going on what you were saying there about the course, apparently the forecast this week is good, but they've had a lot of rain leading up to it, so the course will play a little longer than maybe what it could do. So you can maybe
longer and wider,
a couple of hundred yards onto that.
The pros don't care how long it is.
Well, they don't seem to, do they?
No,
these days.
If it's fast running, and that's what they hate. If it's long and plugging, it doesn't matter. They can fly at 310, 320. It doesn't really upset them at all.
That course will be in the low 10 for yardage.
One of
the season.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not a long course. For these guys, it's not a long course.
Well, that's why I reckon the scoring will be low. Not so much for the yardage, but the fact that, as you mentioned, the fairways become twice as wide because there's no first bounce. And more than likely, if they've had that much rain, they could well be playing preferred lies, which, once again, lends itself to low scoring. But I'm okay with that every now and again. But I think you need to have a course like last week where 9-under's good enough.
Tell us who's in the field, Ewan.
Well, I can tell you a lot who's in the field. And Alexander Bjork, for a start. Now, he likes a win in China.
Defending champion.
Thank you. And there's a chap, Senor Campillo, who's in the middle of quite a good run at the moment.
Well, we hope he's going, because he said he wanted time off. Let's hope he plays.
Well, I hope he does too. As I said earlier, you really got to keep playing when things are going well. Michael Lorenzo Vera has made some good moves over the course of the last 2 years. He seems to get better. And a chance for Erik van Rooyen to get back on the horse after making a few mistakes on the back nine. David Lipsky, of course, played well last week. He's got a decent record out there, and he spent a bit of time out there in his youth. Sean Crocker, you were talking about earlier, what a fine player he is. He'll also be there. So all in all, given it the date for the Volvo China Open, this is a good quality field.
Anyone caught your eye?
There's a couple.
Without giving away your picks?
There's a couple. I mean, it's a strong field. There's a couple of people who look as if they're playing well at the moment who've done well there before, so that would kind of suggest that they may play well. I'm just curious as to what you both think about, let's say the scoring is, let's say a 20 under. Is that a different mentality going from a course where it was kind of an 8-9 winning and then suddenly they're going to try and shoot a 20 under? Is that a different mentality, or do you think they just play the course as they see it and end up the score they end up?
Do you know what I think it's like? It's so you play your practice round, you play the pro-am, you turn up on Thursday afternoon on a golf course that you thought, I'll tell you what, 68's a very good score around here. And there are 365s and 466s in before you tee off in the afternoon. Straight away, what you thought the golf course was, it obviously isn't that, and you just reset. So, I don't think it's going to be an issue. No, I don't. Remember that, Ewan? Getting there and you think the course was pretty difficult, and then you see all those low scores and you think, goodness me.
Yeah, you've got the afternoon tee off time, and you step in the first tee and you're 8 behind.
Yeah, that's right.
Good.
Yeah.
Not good.
So let's get to the picks. And the rules are you've got to pick who you think's going to win and also who you think could win from outside last year's top 50 in the Race to Dubai.
Yeah, well, I think, as Chris is a guest, I honestly think we should let the guest go first.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Well, we let Sam go first last week, and he had Thomas Dietrich.
Yes,
well, highly fated top 10.
Chris will probably take my choice, but that's just the way it is.
Chris, let us know your first choice. This is not the one outside the top 50.
Well, I think as the guests on that leaderboard are last, I think it's only fair that the guests go first and try and make up some ground.
Without doubt. Trust me, nothing in this game is an advantage.
So I'm going to pick what might be an obvious one, because he won there last year. But it's not only just that, because he had a good week.
Alex.
Yes, Alexander Bjork.
All right. That's a very good pick.
He was very... He was good.
Because it's not
week.
Your pick. So this is the first round of picks then. You're going with Alex Bjork.
Alexander Bjork, yes.
Yeah.
For the win.
Well, he was on my shortlist.
Oh, you've got a shortlist?
I have a shortlist because...
All I've got is whatever's left after you two have fleeced all the best picks.
I know you're going to go for Hao Tong Li because I didn't mention him, that he was in the field.
I'm not saying who I'm going for. You have the next choice.
Jordan Smith.
Yes, you were tempted to go with him last week, weren't you?
I was.
And you were sort of reluctant. Now you've taken the plunge.
Yeah, even though he had a bad finish on Sunday, he bogeyed the 16th and the 18th. I have a high admiration for the way Jordan plays. The only thing that surprised me...
He's long too, by the way.
...is that having not pressed on from the maiden victory, which he won so well...
Yeah,
I honestly thought he would make the Ryder Cup team of last year, and that didn't happen. But I'm going to stick with him, Jordan Smith.
And I'm going to go with Sam's pick last week, Thomas Dietrich, who, after a very bad start to last week's event, came through at the weekend to finish top 10. I think he's going to be hard to beat. So I'm having Thomas Dietrich as my first pick.
Well, the good news, if he does win, you won't be here to announce it next week. So
that's also very true.
Fair enough.
I'm sure I'll be well treated.
How's no one picked Hao Tong Li? I debated him.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with mine. I thought someone would pick.
You're welcome to change.
I'm sticking. I'm not twisting. I just thought someone would have.
It's not often you get a second chance here.
And the other thing is, playing in China, all the crowds will be watching him. He's under a lot of pressure to perform, and that can help. It's like playing at home at a football match. Sometimes the crowd gets on your back and it doesn't help. So it's not easy for him.
A lot of things to do off the course, I suspect, as well.
Probably a busy week in the Volvo China for Hao Tong Li. So that's the first round. Second round, your player outside last year's top 50.
This is difficult. So I'm going to go for, my two reasons are, already a winner this year.
It's someone who's got reasons. We don't have people that come on this show with reasons.
Oh, this is research. I started this 2 months ago, research. Guido...
Migliozzi.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on tour last year.
Exactly. But he's won this year, and he started well last week. He had a good couple of rounds and fell away the weekend.
Oh, no, we need to go to the rules ombudsman and find out. Does that? Can you have a rookie?
Yeah, it's
okay. Oh, you're getting very slack through the window there. It's okay.
Exactly, yeah.
And I saw him, actually, for the first time this week playing and seeing how he swings and everything. He looks good. So Migliozzi for you.
Yes, that's the one.
Why are you looking at me
because
like that?
Because it's your go next.
I am going to go for an American.
Very good. Sean Crocker?
No.
Ooh.
Kurt Kitayama.
Well, he's already won, isn't he? He's a good player.
I'm not allowed to pick him because he's won, or?
You can.
Okay, thank you.
He's a very good player. Twice
a winner this year, is it?
Yeah, he did. He won two in twice in 3 weeks or something, didn't he?
Thank you.
Very strong picks this week, Mercer.
Yes, thank you.
Very strong picks. And I'm going to go for the player that went for last week who played very well, very consistently.
Bezuidenhout.
Christian Bezuidenhout. Yeah.
Are repicks allowed, are they?
That's a very good question again. normally you look through there, you see blank faces. It's three blank faces instead of two. We normally just got two. So
you know the worst of it?
Yeah, go on.
That the two picks every Monday, while we're sitting here, are all good picks.
That's true.
It's just the following Monday.
Yeah.
They're not quite as good as you thought they were.
I wonder if they'll have, you know, I've heard that in the football world, they have an index. You can sort of, like trading stocks and shares, you can choose a footballer and his value goes up or down compared to what he does or what he doesn't do or bad presses, a whole lot of factors that make his price increase or decrease. You can buy stock in football players. I wonder if anyone's ever going to do that with golfers.
What a wonderful idea to do it with golfers, because if you look at footballers, it's a short career. You're looking at probably 18 to 33, somewhere about there. You look at people like Jimenez, and he's mid-50s, he's still playing well. So your stock, you could keep heading into the Champions Tour, or you could get them off the Challenge Tour, maybe at a small price, and say you quite fancy they're going to have a good career. They progress to the European Tour, top 50 of the world ranking. So what a wonderful idea. Good idea.
I wonder, we'll see.
That's unusual to come from you, but that's good.
It just came out of the spur of the moment. I wonder if we can capitalise that into some money, though. What do you think? Because there's nothing on this show. So, Chris, coaching-wise, YouTube, do people interact with you? Do they pose you questions and you answer their stuff? Do you do sort of cure-alls on there?
It generally in the comments box, there's just generally a lot of comments about people's golf swings or the videos, or I'll get emails from people who are struggling. It's very often they're not complex questions. It's not, you know, a huge long essay. It's just a very simple thing that they want the answer for.
What's the most common question that people would interact with you to try and get the answer to?
I see from golf, they just want to strike the ball better. That's, you know, I see almost the industry pushes this score and handicap onto golfers, as you should be dropping a handicap, what's your score? When the reality is, when I see golfers, it's not always about that. It's about sometimes they just want to strike it better, or they're playing a four ball every week and they just want to hit it further than their playing partners. And their metrics often different to what maybe the industry pushes out there. So I think, you know, as long as they can strike it well on the course, they seem to enjoy their golf a bit more. So lots of the questions I get are just around ball striking.
Who's the best player in the world as far as swing goes in your opinion? Who's got the best swing?
So I think in terms of a lot of things that I like to see in a golf swing, I think Dustin Johnson.
Fair.
I don't think he's got aesthetically the best looking swing, but I think he demonstrates a lot of the things I think a lot of golfers could benefit from.
Which will do you what? What can the average player learn from Dustin Johnson's swing? Because it's quite unique.
Well, I think I still see a lot of golfers who have maybe been told to kind of resist the legs and feel very stable and that. And that's pretty good for hitting it straight, but most of the golfers I see would like to hit it further.
Yeah.
And so I see Dustin Johnson really rotating his hips well. His legs really move a lot. You know, he really kind of stretches and extends at the top and all these kind of things. Golfers often think they're wrong things to do. You know, well,
you must
be
a Sam Snead fan then.
Fantastic. What a great golf swing. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've kind of, I see a lot of golfers almost having this idea of, well, I shouldn't move my legs and I've got to create this resistance in the backswing, and often that might be good for hitting it straight, but not necessarily going to hit the long ball that they want. And that's often what I see. And I think, like I said, sometimes it's not all about score. Sometimes if they can just add 20 yards off the tee, they're happy and they enjoy the golf more. And if they enjoy it, they'll stay in the game longer.
You and you need to ask him the question. I mean, 20 yards off the tee he's offering here.
It's not a guarantee.
I know you're a big Bobby Jones fan.
Yeah, we talked about this last week with Sam, didn't we? We had Bobby Jones, we had Ben Hogan,
Christy O'Connor Senior,
and Sam Snead. And Sam and I both went for Snead.
Okay.
Where I think a generation would have gone for Hogan.
Probably.
But Hogan was more scientific than Snead. Snead was like the chorus of a song. I mean, once the clubhead was away from the ball, the rest of it was all just poetry in motion. Mm. And earlier than that, Bobby Jones as well, and they both did exactly what you're talking about. There was no resistance at the lower side. The right hip went out of the way, into the gap went the arms, and the same on the way through. The worry I have with coaches and players who want to resist on the lower half is there could well be back problems along the way if they continue to do that.
Yeah, I sort of think I look at the generation coming through now, and let's take Dustin Johnson. Do we see him playing senior tour golf? I don't see the golfers coming through now doing that. I get the feeling they're going to get to kind of 40-odd and just go, I'm done. I mean,
money-wise, it wouldn't be an issue, but what else is Dustin going to do?
True.
And he loves playing golf. He's got a natural... His body, that's the way his body plays. Like Monty. You wouldn't have said that Monty's swing is going to last forever, but that's what his body's used to. He hasn't changed it from anything, and Dustin's... That's how he's always swung it. He'd probably continue to do it.
Yeah, you're probably right. So who's your favourite swing on tour?
On tour... Oosthuizen's got an unbelievable swing. I think Adam Scott's got an unbelievable swing. There are a few orthodox, beautiful swings. I tell you what, the way Tiger Woods is swinging it right now is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So there's a lot of... And then you've got the unorthodox ones, like the Dustin Johnsons and the Bryson DeChambeaus. Yeah. And it's a whole bunch of different swings. I think golf swing nowadays, for people who love watching golf swings, it's never been more rich than it is right now.
I think at the end of it all, there's many ways to play this game well, and you mustn't say you must do this and you mustn't do that. If it suits the player you're coaching and he's happy and he can feel it and he can understand it, then press on. But many ways to play well, not one.
One tip, Chris, for our listeners that would help, doesn't matter what standard they are, that would help them with their game.
So I'll give you something which I would think it would help with ball striking. And again, since what I said a moment ago, that tends to help people enjoy the game a little bit more. I generally don't see many golfers in the backswing moving towards the target, but I see a lot of golfers moving away from the target.
Right.
So little tip would be, at setup, I'd like you to try and feel maybe 55% of pressure on your lead side and just feel very, very centred over the ball. Now, what we often find is that it might feel like you're not shifting your weight, but actually if you were to measure it with a device, we'd probably see some weight shift. But what we see and what we can measure and what we feel are very different. So very often if you get them to start, what they feel is a left, stay over the ball. They feel they don't shift weight, but they do shift pressure and they strike it better.
Is that a little stack and tilt?
Not really, because I think that's a very different sort of model. It's not stack and tilt, because I think that's slightly different. It's more just something that we tend to see happening from the best players. They stay very centred.
So you're saying the rotation is the weight shift as opposed to a lateral move?
Correct. And I think a lot of golfers are under the impression that, well, I should be on my right side in the backswing, and we see that kind of lateral move and they get that feeling of the weight on the right side, but very difficult then to get back to the ball.
How can people find you?
They can find me on, well, best is YouTube. That's where I put all my content, which is just Chris Ryan Golf.
Right.
And that's on YouTube, and that's the handle I have on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well.
Brilliant. Well done. Well said. Nice and concise. And brevity was the order of the day. That's it for now. Next week, we will look back at the Volvo China Open and then ahead to the Betfred British Masters. British Masters back on European soil.
It is hillside, wonderful golf course, sometimes in the shadow of Royal Birkdale, but almost its equal.
And Tommy Fleetwood will, of course, be the host for that at Hillside Golf Club. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. But for now, from Chris Ryan, who's gone for?
Alexander Bjork and Migliozzi.
And Ewan Murray, who's gone for the guaranteed winner this week?
I've gone for Kurt Kitayama and Jordan Smith, if you're listening. Please, knock in a few 20-footers.
And me, Robert Lee, has gone for Thomas Dietrich and Christian Bezuidenhout. It's goodbye.